Welcome to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast aims to bring the sermon from our Sunday morning service to you each and every week. Whether you're a longtime follower of Christ or just beginning to explore who Jesus is, we invite you to join us as we dive deep into God's Word and what He has to teach us today. So listen in as we jump into what God has in store.
Oh, well, good morning, Rolling Hills Church family. It's so great to be together today. A big welcome to everybody here at our Franklin campus. Welcome to our online campus. And I pray God will speak to you today. And so grateful for all He's doing in His church, all He's doing in our lives for His name and for His glory. You know, last weekend was so amazing, right, with Easter. And it was just incredible. And praise God for so many people who committed their lives to Christ or being baptized or taking that step of faith or obedience. And the great news is this, is that Easter isn't just one day a year, right? If you're in Christ, we are Easter people every day, right? Because Jesus is alive. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit who's alive in us by God's grace and for God's glory. And so, man, that we would live as Easter people every single day. And I am so grateful and so thankful. And welcome today. We come to the conclusion of a great series called Jesus' Greatest Stories. And we've been in this series, we've been talking about how every one of Jesus' stories was intentional. And it was teaching about the kind of Messiah that He would be. It was teaching about the kingdom of God and how we're called to live as disciples of Christ today. And somebody saw this, that Jesus taught in parables. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Right? Here's this earthly story, this earthly example. And Jesus would start with, hey, look, there's a farmer went out to sow his fields. And then he was talking about the kingdom of God, right? He's sowing the seed and it's being planted in people's hearts and lives. Or talked about the parable of the talents or the parable of the good Samaritan or the parable we saw last week of the prodigal son, but the prodigal sons, right? And so many times we go, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe that's me. Because here's the thing about Jesus' stories. It's this. It wasn't just to entertain. It wasn't just for behavior modification. It was for life transformation. And when you start to listen to the stories, you're like, whoa, God is penetrating my heart, my life, draw me to Himself, call me to be a disciple of His. And so I pray that these stories continue to penetrate us. They have for 2,000 years, right? But I pray that God's Word just stays fresh in our hearts and our lives because God's wanting to teach us. Today we come to the last in our series, and it's this powerful story about a wise builder and a foolish builder. Now, how many of us want to be wise? Anybody want to be wise? Thank you. Hopefully everybody raised your hand, okay? Because we need wisdom in the world today, don't we? I mean, there are so many things that come at us all the time. There's so many decisions that we have to make. There's so many factors that are out there. We're trying to discern what's right, what's wrong, but we're also discerning, you know, like what's real and what's not. And we're seeing all these things out there. We just need wisdom. We need wisdom in your life, in my life. And thank God He tells us, hey, here's how you get wisdom. And that's what we're going to see in this story today, that Jesus is talking to His disciples. He's saying, hey, I want you to be wise. You know, every night before my kids go to bed, I pray for them and I pray over them and I place my hand on them and I just pray that they would be wise and strong and make good decisions. Because I know how challenging it is, right? Growing up as a teenager today or growing up as a young adult today, you got everything coming in on your phone, you got all these things. But even as adults, there's all this information or misinformation. But I want them to be wise. I want to be wise. I want you to be wise. I pray that because I know your wisdom and the decisions that you make impacts generations. And so God says, I want you to get this. And I pray we all get this today. So if you have a Bible with you today, I invite you up with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles in the back. If you want to grab one, it's yours, free gift. Take it with you. Or if you've got your phone with you, if you want to pull up the Church Center app, the Rolling Hills app, we'll have the scripture for you there. But Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. So the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all talk about Jesus. His teaching ministry, His healing ministry, and you just see all this unfold. And Jesus, when He called His first disciples, Matthew chapter 4, He brings them together, and He has this incredible sermon that takes place starting in chapter 5. So chapter 5, 6, and 7 is what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, this is the longest sermon that we have from Jesus. And Jesus brings His disciples together, and then all these crowds come to listen as well. So Jesus is speaking to His disciples. So Matthew 5, 6, and 7, all red letters. If you have a red letter Bible, all red letters. And Jesus starts off, and He's talking to them about the Beatitudes. And he says, right, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so he starts talking about how the kingdom of heaven, as a disciple of Christ, is different than the world. And he's teaching them about being salt and light in the world. He said, hey, I've come to fulfill the law, not to abolish it, right? You go back to the Old Testament, you don't just take the Old Testament and throw it out. He's like, no, I'm the fulfillment. Everything in the Old Testament was leading up to me, the Messiah. He talks about murder and adultery. And we're like, well, hey, we're good there. And he goes, well, actually, even though you say, right, you haven't murdered anybody, have you hated anybody in your heart? Like, oh, wow, that gets real deep real quick. Okay, hold on, let's skip over that, right? You know, he just talks about all of these things, about loving your enemies, about giving to the needy, about generosity, about prayer and fasting, treasures in heaven. And then he comes toward the end, and he kind of starts to land the plane here on the sermon. He talks about true disciples and false disciples. And then he comes to his conclusion. It's here, verse 24, therefore. Now, anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, you say, what's it there for, right? Well, he is concluding all of this teaching about the kingdom of God. He's concluding all this teaching about what's a true disciple and a false disciple. Right here, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and, I don't know if you underline your Bible, but you can underline that and right there because that's important, and puts them into practice is like a wise man. You want wisdom? Here we go. A wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Well, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Right? They're listening to Jesus, the greatest preacher of all time, you know, the greatest storyteller of all time. You know, I mean, like he wrote the whole word. So like he's just teaching the word. He's expounding on it. They were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. And they're like, man, there's truth there. There's life there. There's authority there. This is what God's calling me to do. I pray that for each one of us. Okay, if you're taking notes today, here's some things I would love for you to write down. If you have a worship guide, if you want to pull that out, if you want to take some notes, if you've got a phone with you, if you want to take some notes there on the Church Center app, the Rolling Hills app, you can write those down. You don't have to. You don't have to take notes. I just did see a statistic recently, though, that said we forget 95% of what we hear within 72 hours. I got to tell you, that's depressing as a pastor. I just got to tell you, I spend 15 to 20 hours a week preparing, and then you're going to forget 95% of this. But you know what I also saw? It's like, if you hear it and see it and write it down, you remember 50%. So at least the odds are a little bit better. So if you want to write some notes down in your Bible or on the worship guide or however it is, hopefully it'll help you just remember some of the things that God's teaching us through his word. All right, here's the first thing I want you to see. Everyone has a desire to build a great house. Everyone has a desire to build a great house, right? This wise builder goes to build. The foolish builder goes to build. Therefore, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Both are important. But what you see, what the two builders have in common is this desire to build a great house. I mean, they're going to go to work, right? Now here, scripturally, right, we see a great house, a great life. That's what Jesus is talking about. And we all want to build a great life, don't we? I don't know anybody who wakes up and goes, man, I really want to destroy my life today. That would be fantastic, right? I really do. I really want to just make a mess of my life. That would be really fun, right? I want to get drunk, wake up in jail. Wow, that would be a blast. You know, nobody does that, right? Wake up in a pig pen. Nobody wants to do that. But the fact is this, we're all one dumb decision away from ruining our lives. You know, we're all one dumb decision away. And so Jesus goes, hey, if you want to build a great life, right? A great house could also be a great marriage. A great marriage, right? I don't know anybody who wants to get married just to get divorced, right? Hey, that'd be fun. Let's get married. We can get divorced tomorrow. Nobody wants to do that. You want to get married so you can have a great marriage. You want to get married, so you know, let's get old together, right? Let's go 60 years or 65. We'll be rocking in rocking chairs by our seat. That'd be great, you know? Nobody just wants to get a divorce. A great house also be a great family. Nobody wants to, you know, raise terrible kids. You don't want your kids to be lazy, disrespectful. Right? Nobody wants that, them to be leeches on you all your life. No, no, you want to raise great kids. A desire to have a great house. I want to build a great house. A desire to have a great house is a great church. Church is called the house of God, right? Nobody wants to be at a church that's dying, you know, or boring. You know, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to live in a house like a community that's a dying community. You want to have a great house, a great community, a great place where you live. You ever drive through those small towns and you just think, man, they're all boarded up. They're downtown. You feel bad, don't you? Like, people had a desire to have a great community and a great town, and something happened and it just went off the rails, and now it's all boarded up, and you just drive through that little town and you're going, people want to get out. You want to live in a place where people want to move there. You want to live in a place where people go, man, I want to be there. I mean, there's something happening. They got great schools, they're great people, they're great churches. They're like, I want that. A great house could also be a great country. Nobody wants to live in a country where everybody wants to get out, where crime is prevalent. You know, you want to live in a place where you want to be like thriving, right? Well, so both the builders had this desire to build a great house. And both the builders hear how to build a great house. He's like, everyone who hears these words of mine, right? I mean, there were people there listening. He was teaching his disciples, but there were also huge crowds. In fact, you remember last Sunday, right? You think about Easter. You think about in the world, there were billions of people, not just millions, billions of people that heard the good news of the gospel. There's a lot of people who hear it. The difference between the two builders is the one who puts it into practice. The difference is the one who puts it into practice. Everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice. If you go back to verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So doing good things doesn't save you, right? You are saved by the grace of God. Salvation happens in an instant. Sanctification takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to live that out. I was talking with somebody recently and they said, wow, I'm just growing so much in my faith. And I'm like, that's awesome. Tell me about it. And they go, well, I just can't wait to be at church. I love being at church. I just get so excited. Every week it feels like you're talking straight to me. And I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit, but great. You know, and they're like, and I'm like, well, tell me more. And they go, well, yeah. And I'm doing that daily step thing. So in the morning, I wake up and I read a passage of scripture. I'm like, that's awesome. And then they said, I started to serve. I'm serving at church, right? And I've just jumped in and I'm like, wow, you're growing in your faith. Yep. I mean, it's like, you're putting it into practice. Right? You're not just walking in, walking out and go, wow, that was really good. That was great. Great. Now I'm going to go back and live my life. I'm just going to go back to the world and what the world says and chase after everything the world says. No, Jesus goes, listen, just put it into practice and watch what will happen. See, listen, a wise builder builds their life on the rock. That's what he says. A wise builder. He says it's like the wise man who built his house on the rock. See, God is the rock. You go back in the Old Testament, and that's how God's described so many times. Deuteronomy chapter 32, right? It tells us this in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 32. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, and God was leading a million people across a desert, the desert of Zin, right? The wilderness, taking them to the promised land. One, think about this. When you think about the miracle of parting the Red Sea, even greater miracle to me is how are you going to keep a million people alive in a desert? God's like, watch this. Manna from heaven, quail. How incredible. But he also had Moses say, Moses, strike the rock. Moses, right, speak to the rock. Moses kind of got in trouble on that one. But you know why? Because water started coming out of the rock. God was like, I'll provide water for you in the desert. I am the water of life, right? I will take care of my people. Just trust me. Trust me in this. But God's always described as this rock in the Old Testament. What's interesting, New Testament, think about this. Jesus with his disciples, Caesarea Philippi, Matthew chapter 16. Caesarea Philippi was a place of pagan worship. Okay, there's this kind of this, it's where the headwaters of the Jordan, there's a cave where the Jordan River kind of starts, but then they would have these niches where people would come and have all these different gods that they would worship. And Jesus goes, hey, to his disciples, who do men say that I am? Look at all these pagan gods, even pagan gods in the world today. Who do men say that I am? There's a lot of opinions about Jesus today. And the disciples go, well, they say, you know, you're a prophet. They say, you know, Elijah or John the Baptist, like, man, you're like, you're a great prophet. And then he's asked this question, but who do you say that I am? Personal. And every one of us has to give an answer to that question. Who do you say Jesus is? And I love Peter. Peter stands up and he's like, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God, right? You are the Lord of all. And Jesus goes, you are right. You are right, Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How incredible is that? What's the rock? The declaration of our faith. Jesus Christ is Lord. Wow. Not just the Savior, right? He saves my life, but he is the Lord of my life. I'm building my life on him, and I'm joining with other believers as the rock of Christ. Okay, wisdom comes from the Lord. Wisdom comes from the Lord. The wise man built on that foundation. Now, here's the fact. There is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Okay, we have a lot of knowledge in our world today, right? I mean, we have a lot of people who are really good at trivia. You know, they go on Jeopardy, or they just got a lot of knowledge out there. You know why? Because we've got Siri. Hey, Siri, what is, you know, whatever. We got all kinds of knowledge. Who won the 1976 Super Bowl, right? Oh, wow, look how much knowledge I have. I have all this kind of knowledge. But the question becomes, with all this knowledge, are we really getting any smarter? I've read a couple of things this week, just looking at a bunch of articles on this, and there were several studies that the average human's intelligence quotient, the IQ, has been steadily declining since the late 20th century. That's encouraging. Great. Thanks. You know? But experts attribute this decline to various factors, one of which is the widespread use of technology. You're thinking, what? We've got more knowledge than ever. We can win any trivia game, right? But why does it seem like we're not getting smarter? Well, we stopped studying. We stopped research. We stopped working for it. We stopped looking into it and using our brains to think about things. You know, the internet, here's an article. It says, is the internet making us smarter or dumber? It says, however, a downside of the internet is that information is not always verified or accurate. Oh, maybe that's the case, right? Maybe that's the deal, okay? Maybe there is a lot of things out there that aren't true. And so we have to decide, like, am I going to build my life on shifting sand? Am I going to build my life on the things and the opinions of the world that are really here today and gone tomorrow? You know, what's in today wasn't in last week, but it may not be in tomorrow, but it could be in, you know, what is common thought? And I'm going to pull everybody and kind of get their thoughts. Or am I going to come over here and go, wow, word of God, it has stood for all of time, okay? He is God. He created the world. He created me. And I'm going to go, wait, am I going to build my life on this or on this? And every day we have to make those decisions. You know, you're going through a tough time in your marriage. And you can go, man, I can listen to what all the people out there say. And I know they've been married, you know, three or four times, but, you know, they've been through it a lot. So that's probably good. They know a little bit, right? Or I can go, wait a minute. Let me dive into God's word and see what God's word says. Let me pray about it. Let me get around godly people, wise people. Let me get some good counsel here. You know? Or you're dating somebody and you go, wow, they're really good looking, right? You know, they're super good looking. They got a lot of followers on Instagram. I mean, yeah, really, that's good probably, right? You know, like, well, wait a minute. Let me see. Do they have character? Do they have integrity? Are they seeking the Lord? Are they wanting to grow deeper in their faith? Right? How should I raise kids? Should it be like what the world says? Or wait a minute, should I come over here and go, I want to have wisdom. I want to have wisdom. See, your life is a product of the decisions that you make. Your life is a product of the decisions that you make. You can all look back on that. I can look back on that and go, man, there were times in my life I could have done this. I could have dated that person. I could have gone out with that person. Or I could have taken that job or not taken that job. And you know, what in the world? We make decisions every day that impact the rest of our life. Now, am I making those decisions with wisdom? What if your company comes along and they say, hey, we're going to give you this job. We want to give you this promotion. And man, it's a lot of money. Do you go, oh, wow. Okay, that's great. It's a lot of money. I'll just take it, right? I mean, they're telling me to take it. They think it's a great deal for me. It's a lot of money. Or do you go, wait a minute, I need to pray about this. Because I know they say it's all about money, but wow. Okay, am I going to be traveling all the time? Am I going to be away from my family all the time? Am I not going to be able to be in church? Am I not going to be able to be connected with other believers? Am I going to get isolated? Hold on. Is my life about money or is my life about Jesus? Now, maybe it's a good job. Maybe you take it. Maybe there's something different there. You know, when I raise my kids, do I want them to be involved in everything? But the world says, you know, you got to be involved in every single thing, you know? And then when we realize, wait a minute, hold on. My kids aren't in church and they're not connected. They're not being discipled. But hey, they're playing every single sport that's out there. They're in every dance and everything else, and they're stressed out and they're worried and they're afraid. And they're like, hold on, wait a minute. And maybe some of those things are fine, but maybe I need to come back and go, wait, God, give me wisdom. Wisdom. Because I got to make good decisions. And the decisions I make don't just impact me. They impact the people around me. My roommates, my friends, my parents, my kids, generations. I need wisdom. See, Jesus calls someone a fool for building their life on anything beside the rock. That's pretty strong. Let's be honest, right? That's pretty strong. And Jesus goes, you're a fool. But the fact is, we can all kind of look around at people in our lives and go, wow, I wish they hadn't have made that decision. And they probably do too. And we have to come back and go, man, I want to make decisions the way God wants me to make them. You know, my kids, when they were younger, we would love to go to the beach. And we would go down to the beach, and when they were small, they were always, you know, scared of the sand at first. You know, you'd have to pick them up. And then finally, they just loved the sand. And so we started loving to build sandcastles. And we would go down, and we would take our little shovels, and we have little buckets, and they loved to build these sandcastles. And we'd even build a moat around our sandcastle because we knew the water was going to come up, but it was going to fill the moat, right? And the sandcastle would be fine because that's the way it's supposed to work. But did it ever work that way? No, right? You know, your kids, we spend all this time building the sandcastle. We go to bed. We wake up the next morning. They're like, Daddy Day, let's go see our sandcastle. And you're like, oh, yeah. And you go down there, and what's happened in the middle of the night, right? The waves that come in, blew it up, right? Or the waters come in, or the rains come in. And even though we spend hours and hours building these epic sandcastles, you can go to 38 a day, and our sandcastles aren't there. I wish they were, right? But they're not. Why? Because we built it on the wrong foundation. And it wasn't going to last. And the same thing can happen in so many people's lives, and I pray not in our lives. Are we investing in the things that matter that's going to last? Now notice this. Notice that the storm blew against both houses, right? When you're reading through here, it says, hey, the rain came down on both houses. The wise man's house, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. The foolish man, the rain came, the winds blew, the storm beat against that house. Both houses went through the storm. Now, this is important. Why? Because even if you build your life on the rock, you will still go through hard times. And you have to know that. There's this whole school of thought out there called the prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel says this. Right? You accept Jesus and it's only going to be rainbows and puppy dogs, right? It's just going to be perfect. You won't have any problems. You won't have any challenges. And I'm like, that's not in here. We will still go through challenges. We'll still face trouble. But the thing is that God's with us in the middle of it. God wants us to know that there will be hard times that will come. It's been said this, that you're either in a crisis, coming out of a crisis, or going into a crisis, right? At some point in our life. And maybe today you're in a crisis. I'm sorry, but what I will say is hold on. I will say hold on, because God's not finished with you. God's not finished with your story. God's not finished with your family. God's not finished with you. You just hold on in the middle of that storm. We live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. One day when we go to heaven, it's all going to be made right. No more storms, right? But until that day comes, You hold on. Jesus told his disciples, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might, not you could. No, you will. You're going to go through some challenges. But take heart, exclamation point. I love when Jesus gives us an exclamation point. Hey, take heart. I have overcome the world. He's like, I'm greater. You hold on. You stand firm in me. Hey, wait. Here's the thing. God is with you. God is for you. And when you're building your life on the rock, you kind of go, man, I don't know if it's going just like I thought it would. I don't know if everything's perfect in my life. But what you begin to understand is this, is that God's doing something bigger than you can see. God's writing a greater story than you could write yourself. And he's just saying, you hold on and trust and make wise decisions. Keep building that house. Keep building that marriage. Keep building that family. Keep building that church. Keep building that community because I'm with you and I'm for you. Now, here's the thing. Don't wait for the storm to come to make a decision about your foundation. Don't wait for the storm to come, right? If you live in Florida, you're not sitting there waiting for the hurricane to get there before you make a decision about what you're going to do when the hurricane gets there, okay? Right? You're not sitting there going, oh, I wonder if we should have an evacuation route. I wonder if we should have, you know, bottled water. I wonder if we should have food. I wonder if we should board up our windows. Yes, right? You know, and you planned that. Right? You don't get to the marathon, the day of the marathon, and go, hey, this is going to be a great day to run 26.2 miles. I don't need to train. Why should I train? Because you're going to die, okay? Because it's going to be really hard, and you're going to be throwing up. I mean, like, yes, that's why you train. You know, but here's the thing. Spiritually, so many people want to just live like the world lives and think, oh, man, I'm just going to live for the things of this world. My life's all going to be about money or success or popularity or how I look or how many people I have on Instagram. Or I'm going to live for the things of God. And then all of a sudden, when they go through a hard time over here, they're like, God, help. And God's going, listen, I'm preparing you. So spend time in the word. Stand strong in the truth. Be in church. Be in community. Have godly people around you. And then when the storm comes, listen, I'm with you. And I'm going to bring you through it because you've been prepared. You're standing strong. And I haven't given up on you. I haven't given up on you. You know, it is baseball season, so I know we got a lot of kids playing baseball and a lot of people out there, and it's fun. I grew up playing baseball, and I had a friend through our church who had a friend, and I got to know an amazing guy, just an amazing man, loved the Lord, loved his family, and really prioritized raising his kids in the Lord. And so I've been watching his kid because his kid was a great baseball player, so I've been following his kind of his career. He made it, you know, he played in college, and then after that, he got into the minors, and then finally, he made it to the big leagues last year. So he'd been in big leagues, rookie year, Detroit Tigers, and the Detroit Tigers did a special on him, and I want you to watch this clip. His name's Kerry Carpenter, so check this out.
Is Kerry Carpenter the real deal?
Well, the power is real. There's no question about it.
There's not a lot of 19-round picks that get to the big leagues, much less have an impact. What's the journey been like for you?
Like, I want to be who I am, and who I am is a follower of Jesus. And so whenever it comes up, I don't shy away from it. And so whenever people ask me about it, I love to talk about it.
Well, he told me on his birthday that he went in for some kind of check and a number was really high that shouldn't be really high. And so throughout the whole time period, it was kind of just, I never thought anything bad was going to happen. Like, we were all like praying about it, and it all kind of just slowly happened as he did chemo and radiation. And he kept going in for checks, and it was kind of just hard to watch that all happen. And so about 8 months later or so, he passed away. We all had hope until the end, and it was kind of just a tough thing to go through. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody.
What do you think you learned most about yourself during that time?
How much I needed God, to be really honest. It was kind of just like a wake-up call, and that's kind of how God worked in my heart through that. I remember like saying to my family and my friends that I was not going to use it as an excuse to go be crazy and do things I shouldn't do. So, you know, we're not promised the next day. So I was like, where do I think I'm going if that happens to me? Yeah, there's definitely times where, like, I think about the memories and kind of just, like, wish he was here for certain things. Like, especially when my mom and sister were at my major league debut, I think they were struggling with that, too, and understandably. And I always remember going to the Little League fields with him. Like, I remember he was my coach in Coach Pitch, so I remember he would, like, be on a knee, like, throwing to us. And that's kind of the first thing I remember is kind of centered around baseball, but like going, like driving to the field with him and back every day, and like going to practice with him and hitting with him at like our local field in Eustis. So he'd drag me to the field and like throw me BP, like even when I didn't want to be there. So all he did was wanted to help. And then whenever I got to college and pro ball, he did so much. Like he came to so many games, like took off work to come to games. Like whenever I was in the GCL after I got drafted in 2019, he would come watch us in the blazing heat in Florida play rookie league games. So I miss that. And like those were just like really cool moments that I look back on. It kind of just like shows me God's goodness whenever I think about it, and whenever I realize that I don't deserve any of this, and it frees me up to play with gratitude, and it frees me up to play with peace and being content in whatever situation, whether you're struggling, whether you're doing well. And so I don't know how people do it without Jesus, because the stress is so much, the ups and downs of the game and life at the highest level, especially how much we go through failure. Like, I've never felt peace and freedom until I surrendered that to him. Well, I hit a couple home runs in Fenway this year. And
one fly ball left field going back to Yoshida. He's going to look up, and that ball is gone. A home run off the light tower over the big green monster in left.
Fenway was somewhere where I wasn't even a Red Sox fan growing up, but I was a David Ortiz fan. And so I was just like, I can't believe I'm hitting homers in the same place that he hit homers, like over the green monster. And I was just like, this is wild. Like, only God could do something like this. And so it just hits me. And then I look in the dugout and I see all my friends like smiling and having a good time. And so it's just like that kind of stuff hits me all the time.
This young man has real power, and I believe he's only going to get better as he continues to adjust to the league as they adjust to him.
Carpenter unleashes this, a bomb to right field. That was crushed.
I work for PSI Sports Management, and that's Carey's sports agency. So I met Carey last year. Right off the bat, I noticed that he was just special in the cage, but more importantly, out of the cage.
I want to be known for playing the game the right way, having perspective, being different, not riding highs and lows, and like all the off the field and the way I carry myself. I want to be a better teammate than I am a player.
Carey's one of the most genuine guys I've ever met, and his character goes a long way. And just seeing him grow from last year to this year and having that year in the big leagues is just unbelievable, and it's just a testament to Carey and his character outside of baseball, which makes him that better person on the field.
I just believe that he's faithful, and I believe that in everything I do, if I do everything I can to reach my full potential, that's all I can do, and I can live with peace whenever I do that.
You're on the spot a little bit. What do you think is your full potential if you haven't reached it yet?
I definitely haven't reached it yet. I'm not willing to put myself or what God can do in a box, so I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
Isn't that great? I mean, I just love seeing people of faith, right, and wherever they are, and he starts off with, I'm a follower of Jesus. Like, I'm going to identify myself, not just here's I'm a baseball player or here's my family or what. I'm a follower of Jesus, right? And then I'm not going to put God in a box. I mean, God can do anything in my life. I'm not going to ride the ups and downs of life. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to make good decisions. I'm going to be wise. And whatever God wants to do in me or through me for his glory, right? That's the foundation that God wants us to build. And I'm so thankful for his dad, Ken, who poured into him. And I've just been able to watch the impact on generations. And that's what you're doing, church. That's what you're doing as the body of Christ. That's what you're doing as a family. That's what you're doing in every area, impacting people for the glory of God. So Jesus tells us that the key to building a great house is the foundation. If you remember anything today, right, it comes back to the foundation. What is the foundation of your life? What are you building on? What are you passionate about? What excites you? Where are you putting your time, your energy, and your resources? And I love where Jesus says, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Yet it did not fall, not because the guy had great building plans and did it all right, scripted it out. It wasn't what the guy did. It was because he had his foundation on the rock. The rock didn't change. The shifting sand, boom, falls with a great crash. The rock doesn't move. Man, guys, listen, building on the sand is easy. Building on the sand is easy. And people do it all the time. But building on the rock takes work. You know what? Anybody can have a wedding, right? I mean, you can go down to Vegas tomorrow and you have a wedding. Elvis can do your wedding, right? You know, I mean, anybody can do that, right? But if you want to build a great marriage, it's going to take work. It's going to take date nights. It's going to take this thing called forgiveness. It's going to take more forgiveness and more forgiveness. I mean, I'm just telling you, you want to have a great marriage, it's going to take love. It's going to take grace. It's going to take patience. All right, anybody can raise kids. But if you want to raise great kids who become great adults who love Jesus and will make a difference for the glory of God, it's going to take some work. It's going to take, hey, maybe they can't make this game because they're at church. And it's going to take, you know what? Hey, we're going to read at night the word of God. Or, hey, I'm going to pray over you. Or, hey, let me just talk to you about Jesus. Let's have a spiritual conversation and not just listen to whatever, put a movie on in the car, or grab your phone. It's going to take some work, right? You know, there's a lot of get-rich schemes out there. You know what? You want to build on sand? Hey, go sports betting. Woo, yeah, man, you're going to get rich tomorrow, right? Wow. You see where that ends up. I mean, watch it. But it takes work to do it God's way. I'm going to give my first 10% back to God. I'm going to save 10%. I'm going to live below my means. I'm going to live on 80%. Really? That means, God, I got to do a budget? Are you kidding? Who has time to do a budget? I mean, like, what are you talking about? But you know what happens? Over time, you watch what happens. Guys, I want to tell you, yeah, building on sand's easy. Everybody's doing it. You build on the rock. You be different. You be strong. You be steadfast. You know, I was looking at some pictures last week from Easter service. I was just watching. These kids are growing up. I was watching people serve. I was seeing people in parking lots. I was seeing greeters. I was watching people just, and I was like, God, look what you're doing. God, you're building something great for your glory. Yes. And we get to be a part of that. Guys, listen, listen. When you start to see cracks in your house, check your foundation. When you start to see cracks in your house, right? You live in a house, you see some cracks there, and you're like, okay, we can just plaster over it. And then you start to realize, uh-oh, maybe this foundation's shifting a little bit. That's not a good sign. Same thing in your house, in your life. You start to see some cracks. You start to find yourself angry all the time, mad all the time, frustrated all the time. And you start to taking that out on the people around you. You know what? Those are cracks. You check your foundation. You just say, hey, am I drifting off that foundation? Am I moving away from the things of God in my life? I have a good buddy. I talked to him yesterday and he was like, hey, at work, he said, people kept saying, hey, you're so intense. You're so intense. And he said, I thought for a while, man, that was like, cool. You know, like I'm bringing it. And then what I realized is, wait, that's not one of the fruit of the Spirit. Like, oh, wait a minute, there's love, joy, peace, patience, intense. That's not in there. Yikes. He said, I had to come back. He said, would you pray for me? I think I'm kind of missing it. And I'm like, yeah, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. You start to see cracks in your marriage. You start to see cracks. Stop blaming the other person and say, whoa, 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 let's get back here. Let's get back here. You start to see cracks in your kids. Let's get back here. You start to see cracks in your life. Hey, let it point you back to the foundation. Where are you building your life? What's important to you? Where are you putting your time? Where are you putting your money? Listen, the bigger the building, the greater need for a deeper foundation. The bigger the building, right? Seems like they're putting skyscrapers up every day downtown Nashville, right? But here's the deal. You don't build a skyscraper on the foundation of a convenience store. It's not going to last. You got to have as much weight below ground as you do above ground. God's got big plans for some of you, for all of you, right? But I want to tell you, you got to have that foundation to support those big plans. You got to have that foundation as your career grows, as your family grows, as your ministry grows. You have that foundation? See, God's preparing you for what God's preparing for you. And so taking that time being in the Word, taking that time being at church, taking that time to grow in your faith, taking that time to serve right now, God's preparing you. So what is the foundation of your life? I mean, really, what is it? If you're like most people, you would say, well, it's probably money. That's what most people's is. And that's why, man, when things are good and the bank account's fine, man, they're happy on cloud nine. And when things get hard, you know, man, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what happened, God? Why are you? Where'd you leave me? And God's going, I haven't left you. I'm the rock. I provide for you in the desert. I've taken care of you in the past. Hey, I'm not going to bail on you. You don't bail on me. For a lot of people, man, it's all kinds of things that become the foundation, and it's shifting sand. Build your foundation on the rock. I want to invite you this morning to take out the elements. This really is how we build our life on the rock. If you're at home, I'm going to invite you to go into the kitchen to find some bread, some crackers, some wine, some grape juice. But I want you to think about this for a minute. That there are churches all over the world today that are gathered and they're united in Christ. Think about churches in Ukraine that are meeting today. Think about churches in China. And they're saying, hey, regardless of what comes, regardless of what storm, regardless of the wind or the waves that hit me in the face, I'm staying true to the commitment that I made because Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And I'm not just in the crowd. I'm a disciple. So Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup. He said, this is the new covenant. You're not under the law anymore. There's a new covenant called grace. Praise God for grace. That when we see those cracks in the foundation, God won't leave us. God's still with us. When we go through those storms, they won't overcome us. God's still with us. And God's going to bring us through. There's grace. Take and drink in remembrance of him. When you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let me pray over us right now. Father, thank you for your presence. Oh God, we sent you in this place. Father, thank you that you are our rock, our firm foundation. And God, you do not move. You do not change like shifting sand. And God, you're always with us. Through the good times of life, through the hard times of life, you never leave us. And God, you're writing a greater story in us. Bigger, better things are still to come, but we just got to stay firm in you. So thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your son. Thank you for Jesus, our firm foundation, in whose name we pray and we worship right now. Amen, amen, amen. Let's stand and respond to the Lord God Almighty.
Thank you for listening to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. Be sure to share this episode with any friends and family who may benefit from it. And make sure you subscribe to be notified so you never miss a sermon. If you want to learn more about Rolling Hills, download Church Center, our Rolling Hills app. Follow us on social media or visit our website at rollinghills.church. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast is a part of the Rolling Hills Podcast Network, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.